We're here. We're back. Another game recap, 36-14. You just take a moment. Can I get these sponsor reads out of the way? Gather yourself. Why don't you look? Hold your game ball, okay? Don't cry. No, we're not. Yeah, just pet your game ball. There you go. There you go. That's good. So it looks good for the people on YouTube here. All right, our presenting sponsor for these game recap pods, Audix Automotive, located 150th and Dodge. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that location. Best of Omaha, number one luxury dealer, offering industry-leading brands, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, and more. Go to onyxautomotive.com. They got all the vehicles there. More information. Drive Onyx, the new standard. And we got to give a shout out to Pella Windows and Doors. Check out their showrooms in Lincoln and Omaha. The people there are fantastic. Products amazing. Go to PellaOmaha.com. And got to tell you about, see, you're going to have to like zoom in. Can you see it? Shoot 360. The world's most advanced basketball training facility, Shoot 360 Lincoln, coming in October. It's 5 weeks from today is grand opening. 5 weeks, Bo. Wow. 5 weeks. You're just, can I talk about it for a second? Just real quick. Okay.
Yep.
My favorite thing about Shoot 360 is the splash meter. You line up your arc, depth, and alignment inside the revolutionary splash zone, the optimal target for all three metrics. You line them up, you're going to make over 90% of your shots. So basically, Shoot 360, there are millions of shot data. NASA and Carnegie Mellon have calculated the perfect shot. It's based on three key elements: arc, depth, and alignment. Arc, how high you shoot it. Depth, how strong you shoot it. And then alignment, obviously, how straight you shoot it. The perfect shot, 45 degrees, okay, on the arc. Depth, 11 inches from the front of the rim. That'll be that's a swish and a half, player. And then alignment is zero, which is obviously right down the middle. That's the perfect shot.
When you say 11 inches back.
Yes.
You mean
from the front of the rim back, 11 inches. That's the perfect, that's the optimal entry angle. All this is based on the entry angle into the rim. And so you're getting real time. Every shot you take, you get real feedback on all three. So your arc, your depth, and your alignment, and you line them up inside the splash zone, you are going to make over 90% of your shots. It's just, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Train like a pro. Become a member at Shoot 360 Lincoln. I got a polo on, people. Go to shoot360.com/Lincoln.
So that 11 inches, it's hitting basically dead as it's going down, it's hitting the back.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's.
Because it's an inch short. Because I'm thinking that's about 12 inches, right?
So they studied Dame Lillard. They brought in a bunch of different, like Steph's arc is a little higher than the optimal one.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's consistent. Dame Lillard was he shoots a little bit more of a flatter shot. So his was a little lower. But overall, I mean, I love that NASA and Carnegie Mellon got together and they're like,
what else do we have to do today, guys?
We can either study more about the moon, or has anyone thought about basketball and the perfect jump shot? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Hey, I mean, Those guys are basketball fans too. You gotta like it.
That's
right?
That is it. Okay. Here we are. 36-14. That was the final, right? That's
36-14.
Congratulations to Thomas Fedoni. He's heading to Canton after his touchdown catch.
I knew you were going to be excited about that. He made two catches, actually. So. He did.
Hey, and that one was like,
I knew that Nick Bosch, he's like,
boy,
you were going to sell property in Council Bluffs, and instead you decided. You called your realtor and you said, buy.
I want him in there. You guys can all act like the game didn't matter at the end. It mattered for a guy's chance to get to Canton, Ohio. And his name's Thomas Fedoni, okay? So shouts out to him. Okay, so 36-14. There's a lot of different ways to unpack this game. But I think we got to start, Bo, with talking through Jeff Sims, because he's the headlining conversation, and really he's the guy that tells the tale of the game in a lot of ways.
Oh, I mean, I don't know, like, he's the guy that's going to tell the tale of the season. Like, what do we do with Jeff Sims?
Exactly. Like, there's a big, last week it felt a little premature to be like, Casey Thompson, Jeff Sims, I don't know. Like, now that feels like a very real conversation. And obviously Casey Thompson's at Florida Atlantic, so you now have to deal with what you have. And so, yeah, so we'll get into all that. But when you look at Sims, just sloppiness, turnovers, ball handling, things were sloppy in the spring game. Like, here's Sims so far is like, just because just because a guy enters the portal doesn't mean that, like, when he enters the portal, it's like a jet splash car wash. They like, that's like the portal, and you come out like all of your weaknesses and stuff. Like, when you're out of the portal, then you're like a great, all your weaknesses have been addressed. Like, he was turnover prone at Georgia Tech. The spring game, things were a little sloppy, and through two games, he's been sloppy. In this game, four fumbles for this offense, and we'll kind of, you can divide up the blame on a couple of them, but there were four fumbles, three lost. They were all kind of exchange issues. There was one terrible interception, and then there also was a big mistake by him at the end of the half as well. Let's walk through them, okay? Let's walk through them here. The first fumble happened on the first drive of the game. Nebraska gets the ball, Folsom Field, that, bro. The environment where you as like, just real quick before, like you get Ralphie to run onto the field. That place was rocking. Like
It's everything you can ask for. It was everything you could ask for as a Nebraska fan for the opportunity ahead of that team.
Yes.
You couldn't ask for more.
Right.
And they got off to a good start. They were driving down
the field. Sims made a couple of throws.
Yeah.
Boa Constrictor, I think, caught one early in the game. Caught a victim, squeezed him out.
He wasn't going to fumble because he was squeezing.
He was just squeezing him out. Did his patented roll. It was good. But the first drive, they get the ball all the way down to the Colorado 31-yard line. It's third down, and it is a dropped shotgun snap, fumble. Colorado recovers, going the other way. I don't know what, and Nick, we can sit here and try to analyze. It's like, Nick, it was this a good
is just
snap.
Terrible. This is just like, these are plays that are so bad. It's almost hard to talk about them.
Yeah.
Right? This is like, not only can you not catch the snap, which was a fine snap, you can't recover it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, then you just, okay, you cost us the drive. We're going to kick a field goal, get points, or, you know, whatever, right? You lose it then, you know? Like, these are the kind of things that, like, it's not just bad. It's like a double bad. It's a double negative. It's like, wow. Like, so I'm kind of just blown away, not only at, like, hey, there were mistakes. It's like, how bad those mistakes seem to be.
There, some mistakes are, like, they're so elementary.
Yeah.
That they're almost, you would think a super elementary mistake would be the easiest to correct, but it's almost sometimes the most perplexing.
What's the most telling to me is it's like, this is just like fundamentals. And like, I just don't know what, I don't know how you can trust him right now as his teammate.
Right.
Right now, he's inspiring no confidence. You know, there's no confidence in him right now.
Right.
And I don't want to write a person off after a couple of games because, like, that's not the right thing to do. But, like, do you have any? I have almost no confidence in him. And I feel like his team right now, the confidence meter in offense is at almost zero.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't know how it couldn't be. And you know, so it's frustrating. You're kind of like, okay, this, things are going well. You're driving down the field, fumble snap. Second fumble happens in the second quarter, still 0-0, third and five, ball at the Colorado 25, and the shotgun snap hits the tight end coming in motion. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Nebraska recovers, but then Tristan Alvano misses a field goal, hits the upright, stays 0-0.
And it was 0-0 still at that time.
Still 0-0. Yeah. So that's what's amazing is and you'll see this as we unpack this. Yeah, it ended 36-14, but that game was a lot closer than 36-14 would indicate. But to me, and I like, sometimes I roll my eyes at this when it's in basketball. So I hate that I'm doing with football. Like when people are analyzing something like a college basketball game or an NBA game, and they reference like their high school basketball, and I'm like, a little bit different level, you know, but I'm going to do that with my high school football because all I can do is relate quarterbacking. Sometimes all you can do is relate it back to yourself.
Yeah.
One of the number one things that I wanted to be judged on as a quarterback was winning. Did I win? Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing was like, when I'm in charge, is shit clean.
Yeah.
Is shit clean. The plays are in, We're everything's crisp.
Yeah.
People are in motion through at the right timing of things. Like as much as anything right now, everything Sims is every when he's running the offense, everything's sloppy. Like that tight end, that's on him.
Nick, what's funny is I think we talked about this a little bit, but I had heard like the week before that first game that we talked about, you know, he's not his completion percentage in camp had not been what they wanted. But I had also just heard he didn't seem to have command of the offense. And I think what you're saying is command, right?
Yes.
Like, and I know what you're talking about because I watched you do it my whole life. Like you actually were kind of obsessive about play calls. Like you had to be the guy that knew how to signal everything. You used to walk around the house doing the signals.
Yes.
And you were very, like, you're very direct and very clear about it. Like there was never any confusion with you. You were very good at that. If anything, like that was like one of your things you excelled at.
Right.
Like I am going to be the cleanest guy when it came to commanding this offense. And that is an area Jeff Sims right now, I think it's showing like he does not have command because he has trouble doing the easy things because he's not comfortable. Right. I mean,
yeah,
he's a good athlete. He can catch a ball and take a drop and throw it. But when you don't have command, you're not comfortable.
Right. You're taking your eye off the ball.
You don't know. You don't feel good. And that is what's clear.
Yes. I mean, I just think that motion, that's on him. That's on the quarterback. Timing up the motion, getting the snap, that's all on him.
Yeah. You can blame the center or the coaches for calling it, which I at some point I'm going to blame the coaches for keeping to call those type of things.
Right.
But Jeff Sims is the one that's like, you motion now. He's in charge of the cadence and
the timing of the snap. Yes.
So in the end, I think it's, you know, the coaches have to put the guardrails on, like what plays can he run? But in the end, Jeff Sims has to orchestrate that team, that offense, that he's got to command it, right? He's the conductor.
Yes.
That's got to be him.
Yeah. And so now it's still 0-0. There are two mistakes, fumbles that cost Nebraska at least 3 points, maybe 6 points, maybe 14 points. Who knows what ends up happening after that? The third fumble comes with 5:32 left in the second quarter, first and 10, shotgun, another dropped snap. Colorado recovers. It's a short field. And with good field position, at least Nebraska's defense stands tall, but they kick a field goal. So now it's 3-0.
But, and once again, he fumbles and loses it. Like he fumbles without defensive force on him and then can't get on the ball.
I feel like that one was the egregious one. Like I thought his effort to recover this one was pretty weak.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's like you should jump on that thing like your life depends on it.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, it got away from me. Like,
and I mean, again, like what are we talking? It's catching a shotgun snap. This is the most, he's almost like bizarro Cam Jurgens. It's like if Cam Jurgens before his snapping issues were like if you put Cam Jurgens in 2020 with Jeff Sims now, the Nebraska couldn't run a play.
We would never have a snap. And that's the 60th snap fumble exchange in a row, folks.
Second down and 28 now. And this one is a perfect snap. Fumble coming up third and 33 now.
Next overhead.
Oh, that's a moon ball. Cam Jurgens and Jeff Sims, everybody. I mean, but I mean, these are just shotgun snaps. They're perfect. Even Klatt was saying, like, it's a good snap. It's right at in his hands. Nick, he's just dropping it.
Nick, this is Big Ten football. This is the big show. Like,
yes. This
is the best of the best are supposed to be here in college. Like, what are we even talking? We're talking about snaps. We're talking about handoffs.
This is
Nick,
stuff
you could do that in fourth grade.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is stuff that
I don't remember you dropping snaps in fourth grade.
No, I mean, this is bad. In a midget football game, like in an eighth grade football game.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get to middle school, high school, we expect less fumbles than that per game
on
handoffs and exchanges.
That's what's amazing. A lot of these, there has not been a single like hit contact cost fumble.
No.
Have you ever seen, I don't know if I've ever seen a game that saw four fumbles and none of them were caused by the opponent. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think at any level of football I have seen that. Four fumbles, none of which were caused by the defense.
That was what felt a little embarrassing to me about the loss. Like, I don't like to say words like that because I think a lot of it is like, if you play hard,
I respect you for going out there and play hard. And I'm not
man in the arena.
Nobody embarrassed me. But I have to say this, like, that's just like, that's the very, very basic of basics. That's like, that's where I'm like, oh God, like what are we, what's going on?
It's brutal. So now, but Colorado kicks field goal. They're up 3-0. Okay. Nebraska trots back out there. Nebraska, it felt like, and this is why I was huge. I survived my 7-year-old daughter's soccer game. We won 4-0. Shouts out to my squad. We out there. Good I was job. Doing my prime. You could ask Chris about this. Oh, I made them do 2 claps and they would clap and I'd go, we coming.
You see the effect he has already had on the country now? Everybody is now Coach Prime.
Everybody, Adam, Noah, Tim, Chris, we have like a ridiculous amount of assistant coaches. Chris loved it. I gave him the week coming, and none of the girls obviously knew what I was talking about.
But the assistant coaches loved it.
But so I survived. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I survived. I made it through the game, didn't get any spoilers, all that stuff. So I'm watching the game. But the reason I bring that up is Colorado leads 3-0. There's about 3 minutes left here. I felt at the time like there are moments where you go, you run need it. To get to half.
I know. I was thinking it too.
It felt like Nebraska was on the ropes a little bit. Like if this is a UFC fight, you got rocked. You're on the cage. You need to like shoot for a single leg takedown and like survive to get to the next round.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking that, but again, another sloppy moment. 3rd and 7, Jeff Sims gets a delay of game. Mm-hmm. They're lined up. The play's called. He just doesn't get it off in time.
Yeah. He doesn't have urgency.
Yeah, it's just get it off, dude. It's a delay of game. Then the very next play, and this is where I really was like, I think I said it out loud to myself. I said, be real careful here. Oh, it's 3rd and 12, 2:43 left. Sims is rattled and Nebraska's rattled. I bet the stadium was rolling and Jeff Sims rolls out and throws just a terrible pass to Thomas Fedoni. I get it. You're trying to throw it to a Hall of Famer, but you're trying to throw it to a guy that's headed to Canton. But he throws a terrible pick. Then guess what happens on the next play?
Shot. Here it comes. This is what happens.
You have taught me that.
If there is a turnover across the 50 or right around the 50 anywhere, it here comes the shot. Mm-hmm. And they had the beater drawn up. It was done. Like they knew what we were going to run. They ran the long drag, which is a quarters beater. But you need a lot of time to run.
That was the best of protection they had.
They picked the play and the defense. I mean, it was a perfect play.
Perfect play.
And he had forever. And then he looked them off through it. I mean, it was a great job on their part.
Right.
But I mean, you can't put your defense in that situation.
No.
Both. And that's where I, you know, one, like Jeff Sims, like you gotta be better. But that's what I almost tell the coaches, like, God, like don't let him do it.
Save him from himself.
If they can't see it at this point, which I'm sure they now see it, like you just can't. And that's what's so hard is like, he inspires so little confidence. You go, we got 2 minutes to go and we can't throw the ball. Like,
I know that. I guess it's pretty amazing. That's where I'm at with it.
You're down three,
like, nothing. And I'm like, just get to half.
You just don't trust him. That's the trust thing where like, it's hard to play football if you don't trust your quarterback.
Right. Because with a bunch of timeouts this drive started with about 5 minutes left, 4 or 5 minutes left, you would think, yeah, go be aggressive. But I was like, oh boy, get to half here. But bad throw, Colorado then touchdown. So now Colorado in a blink of an eye, it goes from 0-0 to 10-0 in all of like 2 or 3 minutes of game time.
Yep.
So then here comes Nebraska back out. And there's another big mistake here that leads to points. 3rd and 17.
Mm-hmm.
1:08 left. Colorado has 1 timeout left.
Yep.
Jeff Sims scrambles. He only gets about 8 yards. So he's well short of the first down. So it wasn't like he was trying to get the first down and that's how he got hit out of bounds. He's well short of the first down and he just runs out of bounds, saving Colorado's 1 timeout, which ended up being crucial because they call a timeout with 1 second left to go in the second quarter to kick a little chip shot field goal to go up 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing how 0-0 with about 5 minutes left to all of a sudden mistake, 13-0, and you are big time on the ropes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is where I want to be careful because
you know, a lot of times in this pod, we talk about momentum and how we felt. And if you told me it's 6-7 minutes into that second quarter, like to go, I would have said we are in control of this game and we've been winning this game.
I agree.
That's how it felt, like we were almost the better team in this game.
I agree.
And then in a blink of an eye, we showed how far off we were from actually being that. But what's weird is for a quarter and a half, Nick, I felt like we were. Colorado was, their offense was dead. They were just like, they had no mojo. They were doing nothing. Our defense was dominating them. And it's amazing what can happen when like one side of the ball can totally betray the other almost and leave them vulnerable. And then the whole thing sort of collapses. Right. So like,
But I'm with you. As crazy as that sounds for a game that ended 36-14 with 5 minutes left in the second quarter, I thought Nebraska was the better team.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre because you got to play four quarters.
Right.
And they are the better team.
Yes.
And that's because you can't say this is a game we should have won because there's no circumstance because we couldn't catch snaps. We couldn't hand, you know, like there's no if this, that, because we couldn't just do like, we couldn't go out and throw passes, Nick. We literally couldn't do it.
No,
we were scared to do it. So therefore you don't deserve to win. But at the same time, like, I mean, we got to talk, there was a quarter and a half where you didn't feel like that.
Well, and even necessarily. Okay. Well, so, and then the last fumble, what did you think the weird, it was Nebraska was down 23-7. Cause we'll get some other stuff. Cause I have some other big plays that happened, but since we're talking about Sims, the fourth fumble, Nebraska was down 23-7. There was a first play of the fourth quarter. You ran the counter. It was a weird exchange. Klatt thought it was Jeff Sims' fault.
Irvin was to blame on part of that, though.
I wonder, did you notice that there was penetration?
Yes.
And I thought, do you think Irvin maybe stopped? Because, like, I always thought as a running back, like, you got to run through the handoff, too. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, and you should sort of have your eyes
yes.
up in the core. I always thought, arms up, let you put it in the, like, you put it in.
Yes.
You know?
And I'll shove it in there. Like, my thought as a quarterback when I was handing it to you was, like,
Irvin was doing some of this where he was trying to kind of, trying to like, instead of like putting it in. So I will blame Irvin as much as Sims, but like, once again, like,
it's like
Sims' job to give him that damn ball,
right,
and make sure he gets it,
right.
But either way, there was some
penetration,
but that's life. Hold on to the ball,
right. So either way, however you want to divide up the blame, again, you're in charge. Like you're the QB. I would blame myself, you know, in that spot. But
I blame them both. But yeah.
Okay. So now those were the mistakes. But here there's some other big plays. But I'm curious what you thought at halftime. What did you think? Did you think pull him? Did you think stick with him? Rule said after the game they didn't consider it. I guess I have my thought, but I'm curious where you were at with it.
So, you know. Here's the thing. If it was even close, if somebody was even close to him, like, oh, this guy's been pushing him in camp and it's close, you go with the other guy. I just don't know that we have a backup quarterback that has been that sort of presence yet. And if you don't have that kind of presence, I think you did have to give Sims his chance. I mean, as much as that's hard to say, I just don't know that we had a for sure better option. And, you know, he scored the
57 yarder. Yeah.
So there's a part of me that thinks that that's still the right choice. Now going forward, and if things ever happen like that again, I don't think you'll see them sticking with Jeff Sims.
I wouldn't think so. I think, first of all, I think your answer is along the same school of thought of mine. Like, it's so hard for me did I think Jeff Sims was doing a good job? No, obviously. But it's so hard for me to answer that question because I don't see what Harburg and Chuba look like on a daily basis. But I will say this, the fact that they didn't go with either of them and stuck with Sims is very telling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I have actually two different personal experience with this sort of situation. One was, they made the change and they shouldn't have. And one was they didn't make the change and they should have.
Mm.
So the first one was Joe Daly's our quarterback in 2004. it was a bit of a struggle that first year in Callahan's offense. Good guy, but just,
Joe was a nice guy.
Nice guy, had a lot of command, did all the right things, just wasn't great.
He wasn't recruited to run that offense in his defense.
And we're down, we're down 30-10 starting the fourth quarter against Texas Tech, and they pull him for Bo Davis, who I don't know if he had six practice reps. And we had like six turnovers and seven plays.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And they scored 40 points or something in that last quarter. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
And that was hanging us out to dry as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say I'd made a change, where you go, you'd been better off with Joe Daly in there for sure, right? Because mm-hmm. Bo Davis,
he had no
live snaps. He'd not played at all. He was not ready to play. It was throwing him to the wolves. Wasn't fair to him, right? So that's one scenario. The next scenario is Sam Keller. Joe Gans probably outplayed him all spring. Most of the team was like, oh God, he did well at Arizona State. It was not clear.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose Keller, and we always kind of knew Gans was ready. And it took a few games into the season before they finally made the change. And I don't know if Keller may have got hurt. I can't remember.
I thought he got hurt. I thought they were kind of forced to make
the change. They did. I think they finally did, but they never, and even the games we didn't weren't clicking or nothing was going.
Right.
They never just put Gans in, who you found out like he had the thing. He had the moxie. He had the thing with the offense where he just had a good feel for it.
For sure.
And he just had the it factor that was the difference of making plays and executing and scrambling for first downs and winning. He was a winner. And that was an instance where we didn't go. So I've seen it both ways, and it can be both ways. Now, in this situation, my guess is that there is not a Joe Gans waiting in the wings.
No, it's my guess too. And what's unfortunate is that's been an issue for a long time of like, there's just not been that second quarterback that is ready to there hasn't been a Joe Gans that is not too far off from the starter that if that starter doesn't perform, you can bring in that other guy.
Yeah.
'Cause I can only assume that there is a pretty sizable gap between Sims and those guys so far. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean there's never going to be a change, but I guess that's how I think there should have been a change? I at halftime, I was like, I kept being like, man, what do you really think? These are like my inner monologue. And I'm like, I don't see, it's hard for me to say, like, based on how Sims is playing, yes, you need to make a change, but I don't know what those other guys look like in practice.
Yeah. I kind of thought Purdy was going to be the backup, and he was not.
Right. And we saw what Chuba looked like last year too. So it's also like,
I was in my head saying like Happy Feet, I was literally like thinking, oh, here comes Happy Feet, and maybe he's gotten better, but like he had Happy Feet last year. It was a scramble every play,
leave the designed pocket, or not, run out of it. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
I just think
Jeff Sims does not have command of this offense.
Right.
And they don't have anybody else to play over him. That's to me, because like if you don't have command of the offense, a coach usually always, always, always goes with the guy that has the better command. Even if he doesn't have as talented of an arm, you usually go with the guy who has the command of the offense.
Right.
And Jeff Sims doesn't seem to have that. So what does that say about the other guy?
That's kind of my thought. Now, we'll see what happens moving forward. But like, if you look at it like this, because I wanted to get, you started going somewhere, but I wanted to go to it, wait and go to it here with what you said earlier. But Jeff Sims so far at quarterback, basically two games. I know he kind of got hurt at the end of this game, but two games. He's got four interceptions. A couple of them are backbreakers, right? The one at the end of the first half of the Minnesota game, the one at the end of the Minnesota game that set up the game-winning field goal. Obviously, the interception to this first half, four interceptions. He has three or four fumbles, depending on how you want to hand out the blame on the motion tight end snap thing or the Gabe Irvin exchange, whatever. There are three or four fumbles. And the team has scored two touchdowns total in two games. Skanky trick play touchdown pass to Bullock.
Yeah.
And then his 57-yard touchdown run.
Good run, bad call by the defense.
Oh, but they got caught with their pants down.
Yeah, they were like a man.
Someone forgot to lock the door and they were taking a dump. And someone, that's like, is that's the not.
Get out.
It's not possible to look cool when you get walked in on taking a dump. And that's what happened to the Colorado defensive coordinator. He was like, hold on. I thought it was locked.
I mean, what a bad job they did on that.
I mean, they motioned it into like,
let him throw it.
I-80.
You know?
Like, I-80. Yeah. Like, it was like, and that's wide open. I mean, but Bo, two games, they scored two touchdowns. Again, one of which was a trick play that was like, what was that?
Yeah.
And then the 57-yard touchdown run. So, like, there's also, like, this is the beauty of sports is that there's they keep score, and it's a bottom-line business. And you're either getting it done or you're not. Two touchdowns with you running the show in two games, that's not gonna get it done. So the question is, and you kind of went there, what now? Because if that locker room doesn't believe in Jeff Sims, you got yourself a big problem, because that is a real thing. Scott Shanley used to always say it, like, a quarterback either gives the team hope or despair. And I remember I used to talk to him every week on my radio show, and he talked about, like, do you understand the confidence that we had knowing we had Drew Brees? Like, everybody felt like we just gotta, like, that dude a chance.
I didn't get to watch much of the Hard Knocks, right?
Right.
I think I saw half of one episode, but the theme of the episode was like, everybody's like, well, we got Rodgers.
Yes.
You know, it's like, and if you got Rodgers or if you've got Brees, all is good. You can play so much looser and you don't have to worry. You can just play.
Well,
you know, so it's such a relief to your team.
But even everything's relative. If you have Zach Taylor, I have to imagine in 06, all you guys looked around the locker room like, that dude, we believe in that dude. Yeah. Like, that dude's going to get it done for us.
Nick, I'll tell you what, I look at Shedeur Sanders and he's got a little bit of that.
Oh, yes, he does.
He's got a little bit of that. Like, he's calm, cool, collected, and the ball's going where he wants it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes out on time. I mean, he took a few sacks, but that was like Nebraska did a pretty good job. Like,
he was under duress the whole game, you know?
He still had almost 400 yards. And
some of his passes, the touchdown at the back in the back of the end zone to Weaver, and then he had his best throw of the day was the
running left.
Running left.
Turned.
To get his shoulders back square, and then threw a Nolan Ryan fastball. Like, that dude's got something.
He's a good quarterback. I mean, I don't want to call him great yet.
Yeah,
but he's a very good quarterback, and I was impressed. Just like he's not really a run first guy. He doesn't want to run at all.
No, almost. He's not that fast,
and he's not that fast. He's not that big. He just really has a good head on his shoulders. He anticipates, he sees the field. I mean, and he really delivers in tight window. I mean, I was impressed with him as a quarterback. I would argue that I was less impressed with their receivers. I think the receivers are all right.
Weaver's good. All those other guys are.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Ohio State receivers, I mean, are five times as good as those guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you play those kind of receivers, they're different. These are just, those guys are pretty good.
Right.
That guy is the difference maker. That quarterback is the difference maker. I don't care if they have a guy that's not quite as good as him. You're not hearing about this Colorado team, they're not scoring the points that they are, because this kid is actually a good quarterback.
I agree. I do. And I mean, it's just going to be interesting now. I mean, because I think what we're saying is you don't ever want to say this out loud, but you know, there's in that locker room, there's a little bit, I don't know how there isn't a little bit of doubt with Sims.
A little, I mean, Nick, we can't even, if I was on his team, I'd be like, I mean, maybe in the locker room, he's a different guy, but like, I would love to see his demeanor.
I know.
Because I don't know, did he look like he got hurt and he went off and I think he was happy to get out.
Oh, I think, I don't know. I don't want to like, you know,
I don't know what happened.
Who knows,
but he may have hurt himself.
That struck me as like, as much as it was an ankle, it was his feelings also were like hurt
because he was up a few plays later and
walking around and it was, I don't know.
We'll see if he's actually hurt. If he's not actually hurt, then that was a bad sign to me that a quarterback I never want to see excuse themselves out of the game.
And that's what it felt like. That's kind of what it felt like at the end of the game.
Like he didn't want to make another throw.
No. And I think
if that's the case, he's done.
Yes.
It's like you never get that back. So
because if you don't believe in you, we already are doubting you. Yeah. And you don't believe in you.
You have to be a little irrational in some of those positions, right?
Yes.
You gotta be really confident. You gotta be like, I know I had six turnovers, but guess what? Next game. Not next game.
I'm the guy. Okay.
You need that. So if he's hurt, he's hurt, and I will apologize
for
saying that, because that's a little harsh. But my eyes told me, does he not want to be out there?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Because even on the Klatt tried to be like, oh, you see that there? Like, he got, when he went down, I didn't really see.
It probably hurt.
It probably hurt, it's a big division one.
But are you injured? Or are you hurt?
Right.
Because if you're not injured.
I'm with you, dog.
If you're not injured.
So we kind of hinted at this, but I'm just going to read a couple of tweets. This one's from Steve Sipple. He says, the sampler platter at Applebee's is one of the... No.
I thought that first. I was like, is he really?
The fajitas and chilies. When those things come out, try to tell me you're not really excited.
Oh, baby.
Steve Sipple on Twitter.
Applebee's Daily Log. Applebee's,
you pick two. I mean, are you serious? Does it get much better than that on Tuesday night? Sipple tweets, there's a troubling reality. There's a lot of evidence that Rhule and his staff picked the wrong quarterback. This is no small development. Dirk Chatlin tweets, he had a couple of tweets that were good. He said, Matt Rhule has done so many things right, but it's becoming very clear that he picked the wrong quarterback last winter, and that cancels out a lot of good things. The portal is full of quarterbacks. Go get a good one or keep the one you had. He then went on to say, Dirk also tweeted, in 21st century football, half the job is teaching blocking, tackling, game management, discipline, etc. The other 50%, find a freaking quarterback. You cannot like Dirk, but he's not wrong on some of that stuff.
Here's where I agree.
And I love Dirk, by the way.
Yeah.
Dirk, if you're listening.
We're big fans of Dirk.
I love you.
Watching this game, like I said, my comments about the receivers at Colorado are more of a compliment to Shedeur Sanders and how I think huge it is that he came and played for his dad. I think his dad should be kissing his feet right now, because I think he is more, as much as his dad, responsible for what's going on.
I agree with you.
And I would say, you know, Jeff Sims is maybe more responsible for Matt Rhule's two losses than Matt Rhule is. You know, like, these quarterbacks are becoming, it's getting like the NFL a little bit, where if you don't got a guy, you're not a team. And what's hard is this. We watched our guy last year. We saw with our own eyes. We got a 12-game sampler platter of Casey Thompson. And we didn't win a lot of games, but we walked away from 12 sampled games and said, I like that guy. I think he's tough. I think he's good. That was my impression of Casey Thompson.
Yeah.
And so when they pushed him out, I was just like, what? Why? Because I don't know this guy.
I don't.
And my 2-game sampler plot, I'm going, it's not even close.
I don't either. A part of me is like, I don't. And again, these coaches, Marcus Satterfield, Matt Rhule, especially Matt Rhule, know what they're doing a bajillion times more than I do. But I cannot believe you could watch Jeff Sims and watch Casey Thompson and want Jeff Sims.
Agreed.
I just can't believe it.
I just don't even think it's close in terms of like quarterbacking skill.
Yeah. Like,
Jeff Sims is a bigger, better looking athlete. I mean, you see him, he took it 57. Like, he was just like, it was like he took 6 strides and he was in the end zone.
Right.
Whoa. Look at this guy.
I didn't know if he had the, and he really even didn't. It was more like,
Nick, he's 6'4" and he's got those long legs. I'm telling you, like, he doesn't have to try, and he's out running second. Like, Sanders' kid was like, you know, he wasn't catching him.
No. So it's just amazing that here we are talking about this. But I think we had a pod about this. Like, right when Casey Thompson left, I was always floored at how that played out.
I didn't like it at the time, and I like it even less now. And I think it is a scar on Rhule right now. That's his only scar that we've seen.
That's what I'm saying. He's done it. Like Dirk said, Rhule has done a lot of things right, including Tony White, who we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that defense, all that stuff, like, Rhule's done a lot of things right, But I think the biggest mistake he's made has literally, I think, cost him two games here, in that Matt Rhule chose Jeff Sims over Casey Thompson, and Matt Rhule chose Jeff Sims over a bunch of other portal quarterbacks.
And you know, these things, like, these quarterbacks aren't like, hey, they just are happy to come here. It's like, they're getting paid NIL money, and it's all very arranged. Well,
did you see today? He's on a million Amigos commercials today. Sims is, and like, yeah, he's getting a healthy
NIL. That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's hard for me to feel as sorry for guys that are getting paid.
Yeah, but you're getting six figures.
Actually, I don't want to be mean to Jeff Sims.
No, I don't either.
Jeff Sims seems like a very nice kid, and he's a college kid. So I want to be careful about that. And, but it's just like, I'm just a little bit, I think, like I said, Matt Rhule's done so much right. And I think he's a good evaluator of most things. And that one, I'm trying to understand what he didn't see in Casey that he's like, oh, but this guy's got this,
you know what I think it is? I think some guys have so much belief in themselves. And I think this is evident in some of his other recruiting approaches. He's basically, their whole recruiting philosophy, and this is an oversimplified version of it, seems to be find me the big, fast, strong, athletic guys, and we will teach them how to play football.
That's so right.
And that's his whole approach for everything. And if there's one thing about Jeff Sims, he's a big, fast, athletic, good-looking athlete.
He looks great.
And I think he thought, I'll take 6'4", 225, and I'll teach him how to play quarterback, even if he hasn't necessarily shown the ability to think the game as a quarterback. And it's, some guys are so confident in themselves that it ends up getting them beat. Like, I think, like, my Facebook algorithm knows I like UFC highlights. So I see a lot of you. There's an Anderson Silva.
Oh, yeah.
He was fighting, I can't remember who, he was fighting somebody, and he was moving around, and he started getting too caught, and he was like, you can't hit me, and kind of had his hands down, was moving around, and he got caught, and he got knocked out.
Yeah.
To me, this is the equivalent of that. Rhule pulled an Anderson Silva and got to where he was feeling himself as an evaluator and as a coach, and was like, give me Jeff Sims. He's 6'4", he's 225, he can run, he's strong, he's got a strong arm, we will teach him everything else, and he got Silva'd.
I also think he got some advice from what wasn't one of his former guys, the Georgia Tech coach.
Yeah.
And I think he got somebody to basically tell him, like, this guy's really talented. He's really good.
I don't doubt that he's, like, again, if you just watch him run and a few of the throws and stuff, like, I could see how you'd be like, but there's such a difference between that and, like, playing the game. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where he falls short a little bit. So that is how I would explain it. And so what's amazing, though, is the last thing I wrote down, as because we're going to get to some other big plays in this game. I wrote down the last quarterback. I feel like we've had this conversation at this point. Like, what year is it even? Because I feel like a lot of these conversations we've had, last quarterback Nebraska had that you trusted. What's amazing is I had said Gans in 2008, but you know what the answer is? Casey Thompson last year.
Yeah, with 2 minutes to go, I actually trusted Casey Thompson. Put the ball in his hand with him and Trey. I was like, let's go. I actually felt very confident. I just think we like couldn't protect for him sometimes. And like,
yeah, couldn't run the ball.
Casey was the reason why I was saying, like, here's what we need to do with the rest of our team and situational football to get better. But it wasn't like, hey, we got to find a quarterback. That wasn't my conversation. No. And that's not how I thought about things. Jeff Sims makes me think we need to get a quarterback.
Right.
And that's the difference. I didn't have to think that with Casey Thompson. He kind of implied we don't need one because he's good.
Right. I think, and I think we got to be careful here. Like, I don't think you and I are, like, I don't think Casey Thompson's going to Canton with Fedoni. I don't think.
He's not a pro.
But
he's not even a pro football player.
My line all the time is like, Casey Thompson's, like, you can win with Casey Thompson.
Texas, he won when he played at Texas a little bit. I mean, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Like, he won some at Texas.
Remember how good he was in the Red River Rivalry game?
Yeah.
I can't. It's like a Red River Rivalry. Gus Johnson Borkature. He cannot say Borkature's name. I don't even know. Bo Richter. He calls him Bo Richter, I think.
Bo Richter.
Bo Richter out there. He called Kearney Kearney today too when Harburg checked in. I was like, Kearney, I can see how you'd look at
Kearney Catholic.
I can see how you'd look at Kearney and think Kearney.
Kearney. Beat Rice.
Cam Jurgens from Beat Rice, Nebraska.
Beat the Rice.
But it's just interesting. So, okay. But my main point was like, it's amazing how if you remove Casey Thompson, and I suppose people could go like, come on, guys, you really trusted Casey Thompson that much? I'm like, yeah, I kind of did. But like, I would have to go back to Gans in 2008 for the last quarterback that I trusted. But that's 15 years ago. You know, I thought Taylor and Adrian Martinez were talented, but I never trusted them. I thought Tommy Armstrong had his moments, but I never was all the way bought in on him. And then you have your guys of Joe Daly, Zach Lee, Cody Green, Tanner Lee, Noah Vedral, Luke McCaffrey. And it appears like Sims is more in that group than he is towards the trusted group.
Yeah. So the question here's the interesting with Casey is like, with 2 minutes to go, do you take Casey or Adrian Martinez? And part of me,
are you serious?
Taking Casey?
Oh yeah, yes.
And we got smaller. I mean, Adrian had some moments where he was a good player, but
yeah, but never in the final 2 minutes. Yeah, never in the clutch. I mean, even in the game where it all fell apart, the Georgia Southern game, like Casey, like had a couple of clutch drives, and I would definitely take Casey.
Yeah, that was my takeaway. Smaller sample size, but I just felt like he was a tough. He was more of a tough winner, and I trusted what he saw almost more than some of these other guys.
The thing that is remarkable is we're two games in and listen to us.
This couldn't have been a worse scenario for Nebraska, like in terms of how the game played out, because now, you know, like we're talking about, you know, oh, these heartbreaking losses by 1 point. It's like, yeah, they suck. This is worse. This is what I was saying. Like, why I don't want those, because now you are looking at,
oh, you got a quarterback problem.
We have a quarterback problem. We are looking at all of our games going, can we win any of those games?
At this point, what's weird is even Urban Meyer has basically said at halftime. I just love Urban's like his analysis to me. I'm like, bank it, just take it to the bank. But Urban's like, this isn't a bad football team. So like we've seen Nebraska now 2 weeks. This isn't a bad football team, but he basically is like, they just need to get better quarterbacking.
Yeah, you need a quarterback.
And you kind of think to yourself, not that, I mean, Illinois kind of got their fannies waxed at Kansas on Friday night. You know, Purdue lost. Like, let's not make the rest of the Big Ten out. The West, all those teams out to be murderers row or anything like that. But you just, I don't know, man, if the quarterbacking doesn't get significantly better, I expect the Northern Illinois game to be a dogfight.
It's hard to win when you can't score.
Yeah.
I mean that.
Like, well, I'm worried
about scoring. You know, maybe we can just run it on some of these teams. If we just, you know, we sell out to run it. Yeah, we can run it against bad teams and you can against good. But we can't throw it right now.
No.
We don't got great receivers. And we don't got a quarterback. I mean, our receivers and tight ends are serviceable. They'd be fine with a good quarterback. It's just like they're not going to be able to function with a quarterback that's not delivering on time, or that they can't trust, or that's not commanding the offense, getting them to where they need to be. And, you know, like I said, delivering the ball on time with the right reads. I mean,
in some ways, I should have started with this comment. Like, to me, this game played out a lot like I thought it would. I think I predicted like 31 or 34 to 21 or something like that. And I thought Nebraska's defense would hang in there, but Nebraska just wouldn't be able to score. And eventually they would shoot themselves in the foot and it would snowball. And that's pretty much what happened. You know, like
I predicted 20-7.
Was it
17-7 or 20?
No, you said 20-7.
Yeah, and I kind of was like, how you do it. Oh, quarter and a half in, I'm like, this is how it's done. All you got to do is just get us just a scrub touchdown or two and keep holding the ball. We were doing it. And then these like elementary turnovers started happening. And then we just like gave it to gave it away, and then the floodgates opened when it's just like
you. I thought about you. I'm like, boy, this game's kind of headed towards Bo's prediction,
because that's what you got to do to win those games. Is you slot, you make it just a you know, a muddy, bleh, you know, just a slogger.
Yeah,
and then it just becomes like you wear out their defense, and their offense gets out of rhythm, which they were completely out of rhythm. And all of a sudden, they're not so hot anymore. They're not such a scary offense. You kind of went, oh, no, these guys aren't that scary. Human. But then they got, 50 more plays. And by the fourth quarter,
everybody was just like gassed. And it was, yeah.
It's funny. My brother said this. He's like, this is how it always happens in football. The first to not tackle the DBs. Then it's the D lineman. And then it's the linebacker. And it's right. He's right. Because the DBs are usually not the toughest guys on the team.
Yeah.
They're the most flashy guys.
Yeah.
So when it's going bad, screw it. I don't want to tackle anymore. Second is the D lineman, because they're big and they just go, man, I am tired. Right?
This is funny to me.
And then linebackers? Linebackers are always the toughest. Know, like they're the toughest guys.
This is like
the
football stand-up. Like, give it up for our next down.
Those field DBs, they don't really like tackling when they're down 20.
So how
20,
many coaches out there make some noise? How many of you guys have had one of those games, man? Is this not going well? It doesn't always work out like this. The first to not tackle are the defensive backs. And everybody would be like, that was like football stand-up. That was good. I don't know why I thought that was funny, but that's what that was.
But is it not true?
That's totally true.
DBs first, then D-line, then linebacker.
And it's got to be hard. And I mean, it's got to be hard. I think this was this case with the 2021 Huskers. We've seen it at times over the years. I bet you felt like you had some of these moments too, where when as a defense, you are like fighting your ass off. You're doing and you're getting no help. And it's it's hard to go back out there, strap it up and continue to hit. I mean, when you know the game's starting to get away from you, like that gets to be hard too.
I think what happens too is the more chances they get, the better their odds are for like calling the right play. And then the more right plays they make, the more you get tired, and the more, some guys then instead of do your job, they go, well, they did this to me last time. Maybe I better. Like, and then they change something little. And then the offensive coordinator's waiting for them to do that.
Like
they have the beaters and the beaters of the beat, So like, oh man, the more time you're out there, the worse it will always get.
Yeah.
That's a rule. That's a rule of life for defense. The longer you're out there, the worse it goes.
That's it.
So that's all it is.
That's it.
So that's why you want to hold the ball. You like, it's always who has the ball longest usually wins, and that's the case.
God, I right now I want to like Netflix football stand up like that. That was great. I don't know. Like, I was instantly laughing at it. That was really really.
You
good.
Know, I have some very strong feelings sometimes about very unique things, and you always love them.
I love him. I would
you
be
like
front
when
row.
I go down for the like I
you would not
I want to get
that. I was really really enjoying that. There were some other big plays in this game. We'll get to those next, but first gotta tell you again about Onyx Automotive. They're the best of Omaha, number one luxury dealer. They're offering industry leading brands, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover. They're located at 50th and Dodge. Listen to man, they like that upscale feel. They offer a bottle to all their clientele with any vehicle purchase of Onyx wine. We drank some Onyx wine. That thing was
good.
Yummy. I was looking on the website. I was looking at a Range Rover. I told you, your boy's like my dream car. If you see me, if you see your boy hit the, he turned the corner in a Range Rover, you know your boy has made it. But I need to get Onyx. If you're listening, when we get up there and test drive, I want a white Range Rover.
Ooh.
And
I want to go Bond, James Bond. Give me the Jaguar.
Oh. Can I ride with you? Can we do comedians in cars getting coffee, but it's Nick and Bo test driving a Jaguar and a Range Rover?
I think we'd have so much fun.
And then we get to listen to music and just sing our songs. Let's do it. Onyx, you in? Because we're in on this. But 150th of Dodge does get much better location than that. Go check them out. Go online, onyxautomotive.com. Drive Onyx, the new standard. Again, big salute to you guys for being presenting sponsor on the Game Recap Pods. And big salute to Pella Windows and Doors for our YouTube audience. We have Yetis with Pella on them. They're gorgeous. I gave you a Carhartt jacket with the Nick Bob podcast and Pella on it. We're going to be nice and warm in the winter. And they're doing some work on my home here in a little over a month, and the whole process has been fantastic. The showroom's great. It's, you know, looking at something on a either magazine or online, it's hard to really get a feel for, but you go in there, you can feel the window, feel the door, gives you a much better sense of what you're installing in your home. And they've made the whole process easy. Debbie and my wife are like best friends. Debbie's made the process fantastic. Go to their showrooms. They have them in Lincoln. They have them in Omaha. Fantastic. You can schedule a free in-home consultation. That's right. It is F-R-E-E. Free. Go to PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And go to shoot360.com/Lincoln, by the way. Spots are filling up. Okay. Spots are filling up. So click that I'm interested tab and fill it out if you are interested in Shoot360 Lincoln, by the way. So shoot360.com/Lincoln. Okay, Bo Rude. There were some other big plays in this game. Can I walk you through them?
Yes.
One was Jeff Sims' 57-yard touchdown run. And the reason I wrote that one down was, were you a little confused? Were you like, when he ran that, I thought to myself, oh, why haven't they been running him more? Even though I went into it wanting more designed runs, did you think there would be more designed runs for him? He only had 10 carries, I believe is what it was.
I mean, he had a few of those were scrambles. I think. So, yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think with him, I mean, my mindset is like, until he proves to me that he's seeing the field, like, you run him more than you throw him.
That's my thought. Like, I think you got to run that dude.
I think at this point, you're going to have to.
By the way, they ran a little bit of option today on the first drive.
Pitch it.
I paused it. If he pitches it to Gabe, yeah. Gabe is right now, he's on the interstate still running.
He's going, so he's heading east on I-80.
He's into Nebraska. He's made running. It. He's almost.
He sees Scott's Bluff. He goes by Chimney Rock.
He goes by Chimney Rock and by Forrest Gump, who's running as well, and he's got the beard. He
goes under that tunnel when, you know, yeah. Where Kearney is, a little bridge, you know, the over. And you go, okay.
He could have ran home. They were like, Gabe, we'll see you later. Gabe could have ran all the way on I-80. All Jeff Sims had to do was pitch that thing. Pitch that thing, dog.
But see, he's not. I don't think he's.
I don't know if he's an option guy. Yeah, options, like, people don't run option like that.
It's a very much a feel thing, and he wasn't ready to do it.
Eric Crouch came out the womb, like, went to the delivery nurse and was like, "Pitch the binky."
Once you do 1,000 of those, yeah.
No, you love him. I love me some Eric Crouch. Pitch the binky. When he pitched the binky, he had an offer to Nebraska. But so I thought there, if he's going to be in there, run him more. Designed runs.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I actually don't want him running option at this point because
that feels like a fumble.
Right now, that's a ball handling thing. I go, he's got to prove to me handoffs and design, you know.
I just can't believe we're like, you know what we need to work on is like clean ball handling and footwork stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's that. That's where I see the offense at. I'm like, I was floored. I walked away that game floored about our offense because I'm like, we don't do that well right now.
No,
I can't think about anything else besides just like, can we do just basic plays and I'm see what happens? Dog.
I'm with you. So that was a big play. Another big play. Colorado's first drive of the third quarter. Nebraska, first of all, did you see Reimer blew up that little freshman running back? I was like, sit your ass down.
That's right.
Did you kind of like,
was I flexing? Maybe I was flexing.
I said, sit your ass down. when Nick Miles hit me with the sit your ass down, things are.
This may be the greatest thing about being a sports fan, a football fan. It's like when somebody makes a play like that, we flex. That's why football will always be like basically the number one sport in America.
Just because it's primitive. Like that guy was protecting another guy and Reimer said, sit your ass down.
Blew him up. It was great.
Even a caveman would be like,
See it?
Oh.
He was on our side.
You come in my cave.
He's on our team. Oh.
but that might have been the first play of the third of their drive in the third quarter. Just
which was a great way. It set a tone for that quarter. And of course, we had a pretty good start to the second half.
But so third and 14, Nebraska lets Sanders escape from a sack and he hits Travis Hunter down the sideline for a 42-yard gain. Hunter might have gotten a little push off, but hits him for a 42-yard gain. But third and 15 gets away from it. But Nebraska stands tall and has a goal line stand, pretty much. Not a goal line stand, but like forces. They go for it on fourth down. Deshaun Singleton has a great tackle on third and one for loss. And then Omar Brown on a jet sweep has a great open field tackle. They got a great open field tackle earlier in Singleton. The game. 48. Who's 48? He was the guy that went to the Ultimate Warrior celebration camp
is that
on the
NBA,
kickoff. Starts with a
Gaboyer.
Starts with a R. Oh, what's his name? But he had a great. I thought the open field tackling was good again. This team is tackled.
Until the floodgates opened. Let's say in the last 5 to 7 minutes where the DBs started to lose what the DBs always do.
Look at you.
We were physical and we tackled.
Yes,
that's a positive takeaway from this game. Is like our defense is showing they'll be physical and they'll tackle.
Yes.
But like you mentioned on that, so I noticed this, we're rushing the polar bear a lot on third and long. That's a personnel decision I actually really don't like, because he missed probably 3 or 4 sacks because he can't do it.
Right.
He gets there.
Right.
But he misses the play that turns into big plays. So I actually think it's a liability to have him like whipping around on these stunts because he can't do it. He can't close on a quarterback.
That's interesting. Okay, that's the guy. Mekhi Gabor.
Gabor.
I like that guy. That guy gets crunk. But he had a great open field tackle. But that's an interesting point though, because and maybe he's the main culprit of like if there was like a almost sack category, he'd be leading the country.
And Ty Robinson, who's supposed to be our best defensive lineman, I feel like he's been a little bit in that boat.
Yeah,
he's not closing. And then, did you see his cheap shot play he did?
Yeah.
Whoa. I wanted to be like, I'm a little just like, he's got energy to do that, but he doesn't have energy to go sack the quarterback. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just a little bit questioning of where he's been at to start this season.
Right. I know they always say second guy gets caught, but that was amazing. I mean, Ty Robinson basically.
How did he get away with that?
Threw him off the ropes and hit him with like a clothesline. And then the other guy stood up and fought back and he got guy. Yeah, that was amazing.
I was just a little bit like, what are you doing?
But I bring it up. It was great. I want to give credits to forcing a turnover and downs. That was fantastic.
Yeah, great stuff.
The next drive for Colorado, you had back-to-back third down killers. I thought arguably the biggest play of the game was third and 10. Nebraska goes cover zero, all out blitz.
Yeah.
And Colorado hits a long pass down the sidelines for a 41-yard gain. I think Klatt said it might have been.
Tommy Hill was on coverage and it's zero coverage and he was staring in the backfield and didn't run with his guy.
Yeah. It's like,
but then, like I said, you're playing Tommy Hill and like Tommy Hill has never proven to be like, know what's going on.
You watch your mouth.
I know you love him.
No, you're totally right. He has not proven it as a defensive back.
I'm just saying, like, why is he
out there? Why have him out there in a cover zero situation?
Yeah, like, he's, I don't know. Like, I'm just...
Yeah, certain personnel decisions.
We play a lot of guys, and I just kind of go, like...
Why is that guy in at that time?
I'm a believer in, like, the only guys that can be out there are the guys you know can do it.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that some of these guys can that are out there. And I'm just...
That was the drive that led... That got to... the great Sanders hit Weaver in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. But you realize that was third and 10 at the 12-yard line and they score a touchdown. So another backbreaking moment. Then this was a big backbreaker too. Next drive, it's 20-7. So, it's not like.
No, and that was like I said, we were in a great position and then they throw that bomb. And they're like,
Right. But third and 16. Jeff Sims actually like climbs the pocket, makes a great throw to Alex Bullock that would have been a first down and Bullock just drops it. So Nebraska goes 3 and out and they got a punt. The next drive, Colorado gets the ball all the way down to the 1 yard line. Nebraska's defense has a goal line stand. Riley Van Poppel sacks Shedeur Sanders and forces a field goal, keeps it to 23-7. And then that's when Sims, Irvin have that weird exchange fumble. And at this point, cue up the Netflix football stand-up the levy breaks because Colorado drives down and scores on that wide receiver reverse for 20.
That's, you know, like in The Shining, they open the elevator and like the blood.
That's exactly what it was. As when Sims and Irvin fumbled that exchange, the bing, doors bing, open. Bing. And that's what it was. And the black shirts were just like, screw it.
It's over.
Screw it.
Yeah. I mean, it's done.
So those are some other big plays. A couple more things before we wrap this thing up. Again, the defense, I know you gave up 36 points, but they had 8 sacks, 11 tackles, TFLs.
Yeah.
They did a pretty good job stopping the run. They were heating up Shedeur Sanders all game. They're physical. They're tackling. Their open field tackling's pretty good. I guess if you want to have a gripe, they got to find a way to get the ball, like maybe get some more turnovers.
Yeah, they got to get some more turnovers. Their pass rush is, it's not great. They're playing a lot of young guys too. I think that's one of our issues. It's going to creep up as the year goes on. We're not great pass rushers. I like Linhart. He's a freshman. I like him. He's going to be good, but you know, he's also like, he had 2 offsides in the same drive. Like, you know,
was it this might have set a record for most offsides in a game.
That like shows both, you where we're at. Like
that's but in general, plays, like Nebraska's just sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're playing a lot of people.
But I like the scheme. Yeah. I feel like the 3-3-5 is manufacturing. I mean, again,
I like what this D coordinator has done. I like what our defense has done. I think you have to take, even though we gave up 36 points, it's like 25 of them go to the offense.
I don't,
you
know?
I'm really not that concerned with what I've seen from the D. There's some like things that need to be cleaned up. There's some positions that I think need to, groups that need to, we need to find some players at a few spots. To make this thing sustainable, but it, really we should be feeling decent about the defense.
They earned. I thought they did a pretty good job today. And again, yeah. I get it. You can be Mr. Like 36 points. Since when is that good enough? Sincerely, no gray area guy. I'm Billy Black.
Nuance
and white.
Does not exist.
Nuance. You want to talk nuance? Hey, Dad. This guy wants to talk nuance. He gave up 36 points. Tell me he did a good job.
He told him.
So give me a break. The defense. I mean, Tony White, that boy. I mean, Bobby Fischer or Tony White in a game of chess. You know who I'm taking. He would checkmate that cat. 2 seconds, player. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, good enough. I just let you go, Nick. I just let you do
let it go. Next thing I wrote down because we're getting surly here. Jeff Sims again. If you're gonna play him, run him. How about that for a thought? Gabe Irvin looked better. Finally got some carries. He had 17 carries. By the way, without looking, how many carries did Anthony Grant have today?
I think he got goose-egged.
He got 0. So that's another thing. Like, this goes to some of the coaching stuff of, like, who's in and why. How can a guy go from the running back that was 3rd, he led you in carries at Minnesota, to getting 0 carries in the next game?
This is the coaching stuff. This is the personnel decisions that I think we got to give him. You know, I'm going to give Matt Rhule the benefit of the doubt. This is a new team to him. This is his year to, I mean, we already kind of know where this year is. Like, he's figuring it out, and
right.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to figure it out. But it's not a great look when you're sort of, you know, in their first 2 games, we're like, we don't know who to give the ball to, and we don't know who we want to throw the ball.
That's not good at all.
No.
I thought, and I didn't see a lot of chatter like this. Maybe I'm tripping. I thought Buscini punted bad today.
Yeah, he didn't move. He didn't turn it over. He didn't turn the field over.
No, I just thought, I thought that was, he didn't punt great today. That's
still
just
feel
me.
Like, though, that we got, the,
you know
that
me.
Punt, that punt's been bugging me. I don't know what it is. It's like, they're too close.
Did I tell you that? Did I tell you about my interaction with Darren Erst?
No.
So I see Darren Erstad at Swing Fest at doing golf in June. I'm playing with Miel Heisen.
Oh, and God.
At the end of the night, just understand, Tito's and Gatorade Your boy consumed quite a few of those. I see Darren Erstad, and we're hanging out, and I mean, it's how we get into. Darren Erstad starts kind of giving me shit, which is great. That's kind of Erstad's first. Yeah. He's one of those guys. Yeah. Like, I love Darren, and I mean, in a guy that had had a bunch of Tito's and Gatorade, you can understand what this would like. Too. Oh, I love Darren. I was like, hey Darren, I was like, hey man, you understand that I did a podcast called Classic Husky Recaps, and in the 94 game, I gave you the MVP.
What did he say?
He goes, can we talk about something that wasn't fucking forever ago?
Oh, God.
But he did it in a fun, like, he wasn't mad, but he thought it was funny. But I died. I was like, God. I was basically like Chris Farley. Like, you remember when you played against Miami in 94?
Wow. He must have had that so many times.
You know, he's probably like, can we? Because you could tell.
What? He's a punter. He's a punter. He should be thrilled that somebody wants to talk about.
But you know what I like about that is, you know, certain guys would be like, yeah, let me tell you. You know, he was like, can we not talk about that? And I was just like, Darren. You want to go put a few, or what do you want to do? Like, but yes, that was my interaction with Erstad. So I'm very hard on punters.
I think he'd be the type that I would think you'd be more like, I don't want to talk about my World Series with the Angels.
I know.
I've done that a lot. But he was like, I think he'd be like, yeah, sorry about the 20 years ago, I actually punted. Can you believe it? Isn't that funny?
I think he was like, I need to get out of this conversation.
Who is this guy?
he was loving it. On some deep level, but it was, I thought that was hilarious. Oh, okay. So I wrote down Bishini punted bad today. He's not up to my Darren Erstad standard. We have high standards here at Nick Ball Industries.
This is our airing of grievances podcast.
Yeah, I've kind of been like, listen, following people, harsh. They got to step it up. Well, again, I wrote down Fedoni. He's heading to Canton. Congratulations. Uh-huh. That one snag was like in traffic. There was a little bit of a catch and a sit your ass down to whoever was. I mean, there's multiple buffs around him, and it was just like,
I will say this. I'm pretty slow to anoint anybody. I'm just glad he made a catch. He scored a touchdown. Maybe get the weird jinx that's around him right now. Is maybe that will he'll just like be able to start playing now. Because I feel like there's too much of this like with him. He needs just. You know, he just needs to be a guy first, and then we'll see how good he is.
Position relative to their talent, I can make a case he's maybe the most talented play. Like, so for you take the most talented offensive lineman, you line that person up. Yeah. You know, like on the roster, I'd argue like his talent is as good as anybody's, and. Well, I'm not saying he's, you know, excited about how the game went. You know, there's a part of him that's like, all right, caught a couple of passes. One was a tough one. I got in the end zone. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like
it helps. I think Billy Kemp can go out and play now.
I wrote that. I said monkeys. Tommy Pickles, a.k.a. Billy Kemp. Tommy
Pickles is kind of a catch.
5 catches, 57 yards. Good to see him get involved, too.
He's kind of like a poor man's Wandale.
A little bit. Him and Wandale.
They're like both very small, like 5'7", 5'8".
Teeny, yeah. But he showed nice some stuff today.
Little wiggle.
Got a nice catch along the sideline. But to put a bow on it, you mentioned it, but it was like, man, you know, and I get Michigan's coming to town in a couple of weeks. But football and sports, like, these opportunities don't come around a ton.
Yeah.
Like real opportunities where you have an opponent that like you can beat that team. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge stage. Early on in the Matt Rule era, Nebraska had a chance to beat Coach Prime and take down and play spoiler in what has been the biggest story for sure in college football. Yeah. Klatt on the broadcast said that he thinks Deion Sanders is the biggest story in sports at the moment.
He is, Nick. I mean, it's either he's getting some crazy extension from Colorado already, or he might be gone next year.
Yeah.
That's how good he has done. And here's what he's doing. Here's what Coach Prime is doing. There were endless doubters. And there's endless people sort of like ourselves that didn't really love the way he was handling the like transfer portal. And
and the cameras on him at all times and stuff. And yeah, like
there's a lot of that. And you know what he's doing? He sort of is proving everybody wrong.
Yeah.
He is changing a lot of people's minds, and he is rewriting the standard for what a new coach is that you want to look like is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see a shift potentially if things keep going well for him, that like guys like Ed Reed, guys like Michael Irvin, these guys that are just historically great football players, great football minds that aren't like, I've been coaching for 20 years. They just like, I'm going to start coaching now, but they can go out and make an impact with getting kids to just come here.
Right.
They can go get somebody.
If you bring the players and hire good coordinators, like, yeah.
You know football enough to go, here's who I need. Like,
I know how to lead, and I know how to be the CEO, face of the program, yeah, all that stuff. And
get the kid.
Because, so one of my favorite podcasts is the CBS Sports Ion College Basketball podcast with my guys, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. Love you dudes. And I was listening to them, and they were talking about this, and they were talking about that. They said, what would the equivalent be in college basketball to the Deion thing? And they said, it would be like Shaq going to DePaul.
Yeah.
And coaching DePaul and immediately getting, yeah, like
LeBron's kid's going to come play for me. Right?
Yeah.
Like that is it, right? It's the fame thing, the celebrity thing attached with, you know, he's arguably the greatest. He is the greatest cornerback to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the greatest athletes to ever play sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has like, not just famous, he's famous, great athlete, famous, and he has a great football sense too. He does.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a good football sense, and his kid is a great quarterback. I mean, so like, there's a lot going for Prime, but it's also like, Prime is going to be able to recruit like a mother this year.
Oh man!
After this, he's going to go to all these talent pools, and he's going to pull some athletes out, and that is the thing. That all these schools that wouldn't touch Coach Prime, including our school, including someone like myself, that would be like, oh, Coach Prime.
I know. Really? I remember being like, Coach Prime. Like, I know. Really? I was like, I don't know, but that seems like a risky. Yeah. Like, you know,
But what you're finding out is like, he's proving that you got to go get some guys. If you can get a quarterback and you can get a couple skill guys.
And you need the coordinators. Like, I do think you also need, you do need to have like
Kent State's head coach.
And so if you surround yourself with the right people, and the right people are a handful of elite players and great coordinators, like,
yeah,
you can kind of flip this thing pretty quick. So yeah, you're right. Like,
the kicker is quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. A lot of this is Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, if quarterbacks will go play for like that kind of like new era coach, somebody that hasn't like been a coach for a long time potentially, that's the part that's yet to be seen, because Prime's is unique because his son is a big part of what's happening, but he did pull like one of the best players in the country.
Yeah,
and even going both ways for him now.
Like, and Dylan Edwards was going to go to Notre Dame, but then he comes to Colorado, yeah, you know, so he did, he got a Clemson transfer that made a play today defensively that, you know, so
yeah. So I don't know if it's right. I'm saying I'm seeing that the trend is being written right now. And Coach Prime is the first one. Like, if you want to talk about college football, like this college basketball, this type of stuff could happen, right?
But yeah, like Penny Hardaway's at Memphis, you know, and stuff like that. But Penny ain't Deion.
He's not Deion. And so this is where it's like, you're seeing it, and there's going to be a lot of like, you know how the world works. It's copycat you, yeah, baby.
For sure.
There's going to be, if you're, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're, if you're Vanderbilt, or you're, you know, I'll take Ed Reed, you pick one of these guys that, like, you know, Ed Reed could go to Miami and get some players. I guarantee he could.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that's very unique about what Prime's doing, is he's sort of proving something that's never been done before.
Right. At least through two games, you know,
through two games.
Cause that's the one thing. It's like, let's see how this, cause there were moments today where it felt like, oh, is Nebraska exposing Colorado a little bit, but then I mean,
if you got the quarterback, then it makes things okay. So that's where, like, they're not an unbelievable team. They're okay, and they got a really good quarterback, a couple skill guys. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's all you need sometimes.
Yeah. And so it's Nebraska had a major opportunity today. And it's just unfortunate that not only did they come up short, they kind of embarrassed themselves again.
Yeah, this was an embarrassment. It was.
You know, I mean, I bet there was some talk that there would get that game could get to 10 million, an audience of 10 million. Like there might be 10 million people that watch it. It was the most bet game of the weekend. There was going to be a lot of people watching that game. And, unfortunately, a lot of people walked away being like, man, ugh. Nebraska is not very good.
I mean, our issue is this confidence momentum thing that we can't seem to get that monkey off our back. And that plays into recruiting. That plays into our, I mean, it just keeps working against us almost, where we've got to find a way to win some games.
Yeah.
We've got to find a way to win a important game sometime. Otherwise, it's like, Nick, I don't know how you get out of this. Otherwise, you got to find a way.
And that's what's so hard. And again, it's game number two of the Matt Rhule era. No one's hitting the panic button. No one's hitting like the, oh, look out. No one's doing that. Okay. But what is challenging about all this, and you exhausted it with Frost, is you can explain away certain things and have patience, but at some point you got to win.
Yeah.
And when that point is, I don't know, but it would behoove everybody for it to happen sooner than later.
Really, Colorado's the worst scenario that could ever happen to Nebraska. Not just this game, but what Colorado represents. Mm-hmm. That they were worse than us last year, and that they are flipping it and had two big time in the moment wins to start out their career. And that's all we've been wanting for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there watching it happen, and it happens to us. So it's almost like, it's not that going 0-2 is the end of the world, because we kind of were like, well, that might happen. But the fact that Colorado is they are flipping their script. That's what is, I think, more than anything, digging the knife into the Husker fans right now, is that Colorado is proving, oh, you can do this.
Right.
But it's such a unique situation.
Yeah, because it's Dion. But nevertheless, it is just proving that, like, we tell ourselves, like, oh, it takes time. And it's like, I don't, does it need to take?
It doesn't need to take 5 years. Like, it can happen in a year or two. But the reality is, the right thing to do is not to, is to be patient and give Matt Rhule time. It's not to panic and say the season's like,
oh, for sure.
Right thing to do is to be like, relax, stick to the process. Increment. Rhule calls himself an incrementalist. He had in the paper today, I'm an incrementalist, right? Yep. Incrementally better. I agree with that. It's the right thing. It's how you traditionally build. Like, if you're not prime time, if you're not Coach Prime, if you're not born that guy who's captivating and most gifted player you've ever seen, like, you can't go just pull the, like, it will take time. So that's okay. You don't got to have Prime. We don't need to panic and go, we need to find Prime. Like, there's some teams that might do that right now, but, like, the reality is, I would go with the tried and true, like, let's get a little bit better every day until we're really good.
Yeah. So it's just unfortunate. Today was really unfortunate. Big opportunity against your old rival to take down the biggest story in sports, be the person that would have potentially been talked about by everybody. Hey, Nebraska plays spoiler on Coach Prime and Colorado's home debut.
Matt Rhule's really got something. You know, that's the storyline. Matt Rhule, like, it would be about Matt Rhule and all the things that, like.
And instead, it's
quarterback controversy
and
time.
You know, Gus and Joel talking about, you know, the quarterback problems, and then the guys in Brady Quinn and Matt Leinart and Mark Ingram and those guys, they're all talking about the quarterback stuff. And that's what's unfortunate, is like when these things start to mount, it's hard to turn them. And that's where it's going to be interesting to see how these next two games go. Now, you know, you got two games where sneaky, a lot of pressure on Nebraska, where you have games that you should win. And I looked today, it looked like Northern Illinois lost to Southern Illinois. So explain that to me. Northern Illinois starts the season winning at Boston College, and then they host Southern Illinois and lose 14-11. So who knows how good Northern Illinois is, but they got a experienced quarterback, and then they got Louisiana Tech coming to town. And then you got one of the best teams in the country in Michigan coming to town. So got an interesting couple of weeks here, but yeah, when the narrative start and that the quarterback questioning becomes a thing, it's hard for that to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
any parting shots, any other thoughts you have as before? I mean, I feel like we've talked about everything here.
I mean, this is where you almost, you don't want to pod right after a game.
Because I know,
feel like we were as harsh, I think, as we've ever been. And that's, I don't love being harsh.
I don't either, but because I mean, Bo, it's like,
it was bad though. It was not good.
I don't need, I think we're pretty like fair with stuff.
That's just it. As long as we're fair, that's all I care about, because
I mean, but they couldn't even do elementary, like today, they couldn't even get the snap. Like, I don't know what else you can really say other than that. By the way, just I saw the Wu-Tang Clan was there supporting Coach Prime. I didn't know the Wu was that big a supporter of Prime. Michael Irvin was obviously there. There were a lot of cuts to Michael Irvin. Just the dude. He brings the stars out, man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Okay. Well, we'll be back for our midweek pod. We'll have to cook up some topics to talk about. We'll get more into kind of the other. Today was very Jeff Sims offense heavy. I want to get more into some other aspects of the team. These were always going to be the two least interesting games on the schedule, yeah. But these are two really important games now.
They're important, and it's like they got to. They're going to have some discussions about the quarterback.
Yes. That,
this week is going to be the quarterback week. We're like, well, one,
what's
like, what are they doing? And two, if they're not making a move, like, well, then what's changing?
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So Rule will meet with the media, and we'll hopefully get a window into maybe what's going on there. So, all right. Shouts to Onyx Automotive. Go to onyxautomotive.com. Appreciate their support. Again, They're located 115 Dodge. Go holler at them. Drive Onyx, a new standard. PelloOmaha.com. Shoot 360. Coming to Lincoln. Go to shoot360.com/Lincoln. We'll be back midweek pod, okay?
How about those DBs?
Are you a Netflix stand-up guy? I want to know.
A Herd at Sports Network production.